Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javidar, guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk about some of the jurisprudential rules of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me begin this episode with this question, Sheikh. Somebody asked, I am a computer programmer and various orders or projects are offered to me. Can I pass them on to somebody else actually to do it and take part, a part of the price or a portion of, for example, the wage that is offered to me for myself as the person who introduced the work?
Well, it depends on the contract maybe signed by the two parties.
Yes.
If it is stipulated or it is understood from the context that, for example, you have to do the work yourself, it is not permissible to relegate the task to someone else or to let someone else do it,
mm-hmm.
because that person might actually not agree to what you might be willing to do. Of course, everybody might be willing to give the task to someone else to do it, but in order for him to be able to earn some money, an extra amount of money. But maybe if the quality of the task done by the other party or by the third party is not as good as the task done by the person himself, then in such a case, the person who entrusted his task to you may not be consenting to it. Therefore, you can only entrust it to someone else for a greater or maybe equal price if that individual is consenting to it, if he is willing, if he is happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you do something of the work, then you can entrust it to someone else for a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the agreement initially.
Yes.
On the initial agreement, in fact.
If it has been stipulated, for example, in the contract, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, thank you. Well, a person wants to take money from others to invest in his work in, let's say, advertising or service industry and give him some profit. Which Sharia transaction or legal transaction, in fact, serves this purpose?
Well, he can conclude a contract to be their attorney in such a way that the owners of the capital give him power of attorney to carry out the economic activity with their money. To give them a certain amount according to the agreement of the obtained profit monthly or at the end of the contract and to take the rest for himself as fee for doing the job. So I use the term attorney, but of course there are some scholars, some translators who have used the term agent. It doesn't make any difference. So the agent can do as agreed. As, for example, those who has vested him with the authority or given him the authority to carry out the transaction. So as an agent, he can take out his fees and give the rest as stipulated in the contract to those who earn the investment or the capital.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IranRadio.ir with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawid, in an on-credit transaction, if the buyer, any individual, says that I will pay for example, that service or product when I get the money, is such a transaction correct?
Well, for an on-credit transaction to be valid, it's necessary to specify the time of the payment or the time for the payment. Therefore, the said transaction is not valid because the time for payment is ambiguous. It's not clarified in the transaction or in the contract as to when and what time, what day or what date he's going to repay the amount. So since it is unclear, according to His Eminence, the transaction is invalid. But if the seller consents to the customer's possession of the sold goods, the sold items, despite the fact that the transaction is invalid, mm-hmm. according to His Eminence, there is no problem with the customer using that good or that property that he has taken possession of. Okay, mm-hmm. despite the contract being invalid, because of the fact that the time for the payment is unknown, he can still use the goods that he has taken home.
Mm-hmm. But is the transaction valid because he doesn't pay at the time of buying or purchase?
Yeah, he does in the transaction because if it is pay, if the time is fixed, it is correct, it's valid. Uh-huh. But because the time for payment is not known and it's left, okay, he says such as, for example, as you rightly mentioned, he says that, okay, I'm going to get that to repay you the money whenever I get the money, mm. okay? It's not known when he's going to get the money.
Exactly.
So that's why His Eminence says that the transaction is invalid, but still he can use the property because the owner is consenting to it. Mm-hmm. As long as the owner of the property consents to his using the property, there is no objection.
So the element of consent is necessary?
Is necessary, yes.
I see. Okay, another question let me ask actually in this portion of the program Islamic Laws. Is it necessary to observe hijab in a mustahab or recommended prayers, such as night prayers? And if it is not observed, is the prayer itself valid?
Well, sometimes we use the term prayer to refer to supplication, dua, okay, mm-hmm. or reciting the Quran. Of course, there's no problem in reciting the Quran or engaging in a dua, for example, reciting dua kumal, dua tawassul, or any other dua, without any proper hijab, as long as you are in your home, staying alone without any mahram being around, so you can recite those supplications without observing proper hijab. Though observing hijab is highly recommended, even when there is no one and you are engaging in dua and supplications. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to obligatory or mustahab prayer, it does not make any difference as to whether the prayer that you are offering is mustahab or obligatory. For example, you are reciting Salat al-Ghufayla or Namaz Tahajjud, the midnight prayer, and it makes no difference whether it's midnight prayer or it's the Fajr prayer. You have to, as a woman, a woman must observe proper hijab. She should cover her hair and neck and, of course, all parts of her body except her face and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When there is no non-mahram, of course, she does not have to cover her feet. But if there is a non-mahram around,
this rule doesn't apply to supplication, does it?
No, it's not applicable to supplication.
I see.
Yes.
Only prayers.
Only prayers.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on iranradio.ir. Stay with us.
اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio .ir with me, Mohammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked us, my daughter has just reached bulugh or physical maturity, but cannot fast or is not able to fast. What is her legal or Sharia duty?
Well, when we talk about bulugh, or you use the term physical maturity, I don't think it's the right term to use physical, because sometimes a girl might be very, for example, fat and very, you know, big, but she's not attained puberty according to Islamic Sharia, because as Islamic Sharia measures puberty according to the year she has lived through. For example, if a girl has completed 9 years of her age, lunar years of her age, then she is considered to be mature and adult according to Islamic Sharia. Maybe she's not physically fit for fasting, for observing fast, or in engaging in any kind of ibadah or acts of worship, which are...
You mean she has reached puberty but not reached maturity?
I think the thing is that we are using the term maturity and puberty interchangeably. And that's very confusing for our audience.
Yes.
We must use one of those words. Sometimes I use the word puberty, sometimes maturity, but maturity has something to do with the mind rather than the body. So puberty, I use the term puberty or adulthood. The Arabic word for adulthood is bulugh, okay?
Right.
So if a girl attains puberty, the Sharia means actually that she has completed 9 lunar years, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and many other scholars who consider completion of 9 lunar years as a sign of puberty or a sign of adulthood. So when a girl has completed 9 lunar years, she must start fasting, she must start praying, she must start doing any other religious duties. So as long as she can do it, it's not, for example, harmful to her health, it's not extremely difficult. So because God, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha, God does not obligate someone beyond her capacity, beyond their ability, and that could be physical ability, okay? So if fasting is harmful to someone's health, it's not permissible to fast, okay? If fasting is unbearable, unbearable means that it is extremely difficult for us to fast.
Or harmful to her body, for example.
Then it's not permissible to fast.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us, your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew. We wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. لا إله إلا